Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
First Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 12. 1 Timothy 6, 12. You find your place, would you say amen?
Amen.
We'll wait just a second. Let everybody find their place. If you don't have a Bible, get to where you can see one, please. If you got your Bible, follow me with us. We're going to be looking at several passages this morning, so we need you to stay with us today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In that verse this morning, three words I want you to consider. The word fight, lay hold, and then the word possess, which is our word confess. So I want you to say that with me this morning. There are three words here. First, fight. Lay hold. Profess. Or confess. All right, one more time. Fight. Lay hold. Confess. Those three words Paul is emphasizing to young Timothy. Paul now is a seasoned veteran. He is about ready to leave this world. Second Timothy, he is in a maritime prison, and he will give his life. His head will be chopped off of his body. And in 2 Timothy, he's reached the end of his journey. Here, Paul is emphasizing to young Timothy, as a young preacher, he said, first of all, in these preceding verses, you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a soldier, do not become entangled with the affairs of this world. And then he goes on to say here that we are in a fight. Not a physical fight, my friend, but we are in a spiritual fight. Do you agree with me?
Amen.
Now, when he says in verse 12, the word fight, there is, in our English vocabulary, it is an understood you. In other words, if I said, shut the door, then I'd be looking, I might look at Craig and say, shut the door, then he would take that to mean that I am supposed to do that. Or if I said, looked over at Brother Steve and said, pick up your guitar, then he's understanding I'm addressing him. When Paul is saying fight, he's not just talking to Timothy, he is talking to all of us. Amen? So what he is saying is, you fight, you lay hold, you confess. Let's get in this fight. Now, my friend, we are in a fight, are we not?
Amen.
We have an adversary, the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober. That means to be awake. That means to be conscious. That means to be on guard. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. He is seeking all the time. He doesn't rest. He doesn't sleep. He is constantly roaming, looking, and seeking whom he may devour. Y'all with me now? Stay with me. He's looking for a way. As John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but to steal, help me out, church, kill, and destroy. Relentless, constant. He is looking for a means and a method, a way in which he can kill, steal, and destroy. You agree with that?
Amen.
Some of you, and I share this real quickly, just for some people have asked, and so I shared this, but my son came very close to leaving this world this week, and I have told several people if the devil could have, he would have killed him this week. But he couldn't. Amen? He came very close. But the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Now watch something. Some people have this idea in mind. Some people say, I don't want to fight. I don't like to fight. My wife and I stopped to get a bite last night, and in the restaurant we were at, they had a big screen TV, and there was a fight going on. I don't know. There were two from the United States, and I don't even know who they were. But I told her, I said, one of those guys looks in pretty good shape. The other one, sad to say, he looked like he had a few extra pounds on him. And he really didn't act like he wanted to fight. I mean, it was a white guy and a black guy. And the white guy had some rolls around his waist, amen. And the black guy, he was cut. I mean, he was bodybuilder, and he was frailing the daylights out of him. I like a good fight, amen. But now this other guy, he just acted like he really didn't want to fight. I don't know how he got in there. Somebody, I don't know, set him up or whatever. But that's the way a lot of Christians are. We don't want to fight. We say, hey, Mr. Devil, I'm going to make a deal with you. Mr. Devil, if you'll leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And you know what the devil says? Okay, let's make a deal. And you say, Mr. Devil, let's shake on that. And he'll say, let's shake on that. And you shake on that, and you turn to walk away, and you know what he does? Sucker punches you. He'll hit you when you're not looking. He'll hit you when you're not expecting it. Why? Because he's an adversary. Don't be lulled into thinking that he isn't out to destroy you. Hey, listen to me, church. He's out to destroy you and you and you and your home and your family. He's out to kill you if he can. Now watch this. The good news is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Good news is that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No kingdom shall stand. The good news is that I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Amen. The question is not that if anyone can come against you, but the question is, can they successfully come against you? Hear me out what I'm about to say. There is never, ever a hopeless situation. Some people give up fighting. Hear me out. Some people reach a point and they say, I'm just tired of fighting. I am tired of dealing with this sickness. I am tired of dealing with this depression. I am tired of dealing with this marriage. I am tired of dealing with this situation. I am tired of dealing with my wayward children. I'm just gonna quit. And you are never defeated until you quit.
Amen.
We need to fight. Fight. I mean, get in the fight. Don't roll over and play dead. Amen. Many want help from God, but you know what they want? They want God to do it all. If you sit on the couch and do nothing, you're already defeated. He will help us. He will get in the fight with us. But his help means that we've got to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. What did Paul say? Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because to stand in that evil day. That's him. I'll come back to this. But when you put on that whole armor and he says stand. Brother Keith did an excellent presentation on the armor of God and those sandals that those Romans would put on. They had like cleats in the bottom of it so that they'd anchor their feet down. You know why? Because something's going to come to knock you off of your feet. Something's right around the corner. I was out mowing grass, having myself a good old time. Just trucking all the way, you know, mowing grass. My wife come out Thursday just a waving. EMS, my daughter-in-law, Jonathan's wife, found him unconscious, unresponsive. EMS couldn't get him up. They had to load him on the ambulance. We got to the hospital. The PA said I ran with him from an ER all the way to sixth floor. Because his blood sugar was 980. His potassium was 8, which is a fatal zone. But God had other plans. Amen. Now listen to me. Do you want victory? If you want victory, you're going to have to fight for this. Now turn with me. I want everybody to turn here. This will help you. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I hope you're not in a big hurry this morning. Amen? All right, stay with me now. I'll try to get all this in the time we have. Luke chapter 13. Is this helping anybody? Watch this. Verse 11. Luke 13, verse 11. If you found your place, say amen. Watch this now. This will help you. And behold, there was a woman which had a, say it with me, church, had a what? A spirit of what? A spirit of infirmity. Now watch this. 18 years and was bound together and in could no wise lift herself up. This is working, right? Okay. I want to make sure. Watch this. Verse number 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called unto her, called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine, say that next word, infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now here, the Lord Jesus said this woman's sickness was linked to a spirit of infirmity. Did this spirit come from God? No, it wasn't. This spirit of infirmity was demonic in nature. Literally, if you read this in the Greek, it means a sickness caused by spirit. Y'all with me so far? Have you ever known people that constantly have medical problems over and over and over again? This woman here had a medical issue for 18 years. It could be that a person has the same problem that reoccurs over and over. It could be of a different nature. But in essence, what it does, it wears a person down. Y'all with me?
Yes.
From a medical standpoint, I tried to do some reading on this. From a medical standpoint, here's what I found. Trauma affects the DNA of our bodies, and it weakens the spirit of our bodies. Proverbs 18, verse 14 said, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? We talked a little bit about that last week. Proverbs 18, 14, a fighting spirit shall sustain a man. I told you about Brother Wayne Warren, who was diagnosed with cancer. And he fought it, and he came victorious over it. Then he got spinal meningitis and fought it, and he became victorious over it. Why? Because he had a fighting spirit. This verse was his life verse. The spirit of a man will sustain him in the day of sickness. Y'all with me?
Yes. Amen.
A broken spirit occurs when life's difficulties crush your ability to resist. Look at this verse here. Infirmity is a term that encompasses more than just sickness and disease. This word is related to suffering and sorrow. Infirmity can be a result of moral or spiritual weakness and defects that cause our will to stray from God. Infirmity can be related to the influence of an evil spirit. So infirmity can weaken one's body. It could be grief. It could be past sins. It could be the sins of the parents that are visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. But here, the spirit of infirmity. What I want you to see here is this, is that the Lord Jesus said this woman had a spirit that was demonic that was causing her to be sick for 18 years. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Psalm chapter 118, verse 17. Write it down. Listen to you. The psalmist said this, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The psalmist said this, I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live and I'm going to declare the goodness of God. Why could he say that? Because he had a fighting spirit. He had a spirit that said, listen, regardless of what comes, That God's on the throne. Hey, don't you believe that? Don't you believe that God is more powerful, that God is omnipotent, that God can heal and deliver and set free? Amen. The psalmist had a fighting spirit. He knew that God had a purpose in him being here. And by the way, God's got a purpose for every last one of us in this room. Can I tell you this real quickly? And turn with me to the book of Acts for a minute. Turn with me to Acts. Acts 20, 24. Come on, turn there. Can I tell you that your purpose in life is not so that you can accumulate things. Your purpose in life is not to be able to drive a new car. Your purpose in life has nothing to do with your bank account. Your purpose in life has nothing to do with the type of clothes, your social standing, or your job. It has nothing to do with any of that.
Amen.
Acts 20, 24. Here's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is looking down the road that God has given him. And Paul is saying in Acts 20, 24, get this. Paul says, but none of these things move me. What's he talking about? He's talking about all the tribulation, the trials, the persecution, the beatings, all that. He said, none of those things move me. Why? Paul's not deterred. Paul had a purpose in life. Watch it. Neither count I my life dear unto me. Read this next one with me. So that what? Hear that out. So that I might finish my course. Paul's looking down the road this way. And Paul is saying, none of these things are going to turn me around because I've got a purpose in this life. I've got a will of God in this life. I've got something that God wants me to do in this life. And I'm going to finish my course. Turn with me, please. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Now, instead of Paul looking down the road, now Paul is looking back. And here's what he says. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Paul said, it's over with now. I'm ready to go home. Before, God gave me a purpose. And once he has completed that purpose in my life, then it's time for me to go home. And friend, until you have completed the purpose that God has for you, there's not a devil or demon in hell that can take your life. You're protected. Why? As Brother Mays used to say, when I have preached my last message, prayed my last prayer, done all that God wants me to do, then will I go home. But to sit back on your bed or on your easy chair and say, oh, woe is me. Oh, God, I just can't take it anymore. I just give up. Please, Jesus, come on and take me home. He won't take you until he's ready for you.
Amen.
As long as you're breathing air, God has something for you to do. What does he have for me to do? What is your course? What is your job? The Lord, the Bible said, is patiently waiting on the fruit of the earth. What is the fruit? The tree of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Songwriter put it this way, must I go empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to offer. Must I go empty-handed? The average Christian today has never one time led one person to Christ. I'm talking about individually. I'm not talking about down at the altar. I'm not talking about inside church. I'm talking about out yonder. Majority of Christians have never, ever shared their faith to the point that they've told their coworkers, they've told their classmates, they've told the people around them, they've told their family members. Listen, friend, the reason why God is patiently waiting, he has a job. Brother Steve, you'll come in contact with people that I'll never meet. And Brother Gail, Sister Gail, you'll come in contact with people I've never met. And you'll come in contact, Daryl, with people I've never seen before. And at the same time, my friend, God has put us where He wants us. We have a course. We've got a job. We've got a responsibility to share the good news that Jesus saves.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 9:26. Turn there just a second, please. We're coming down. Just stay with me for a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9:26. This kind of reminded me of the guys yesterday for whatever reason. I like a good fight. To be honest with you, I like that cage fighting. You say, preacher, you like stuff like that? I think they ought to outlaw it. I think they ought to take it off of TV. But as long as they're going to show it, I'm going to watch it. Why do you like that cage fighting? Because, man, they get in there with no gloves on and they go at it. They lock them in that cage and blood goes splattering everywhere. Amen. You say, I don't like that stuff. That's okay. I'll watch it. Amen. I always like a good fight. I heard about the Dr. Jack Hudson one time. He got in his car and he started down through streets of Chicago, and there's two little boys out there and they was duking it out. And that one little boy, he was bigger than the other one. He knocked the little fellow down. He got back up. He knocked him down. And Brother Howell said, I sat there and watched it as long as I could. He said, I got out of the car and he said, boys, break it up. Little boy laying on the ground. Little boy looked up at him and said, Mister, don't stop this fight. Please don't stop this fight. He said, just as soon as I get my second win, I'm going to come back and I'm going to knock him out. He said, all right, we'll see about it. And he did. Amen. Look in 1 Corinthians 9. You say, Paul must have liked, he loved sports. Everything he wrote about was sports, but he liked boxing. Now watch this. I therefore so run, not uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know what bugs me about most fights that you see? You know how they do that? Come here, Craig. I'm not going to knock you out.
Don't hit Craig.
No, him. You know what they do? When they get real close, you know what they do? They do I'm like, hey, pull them apart. Let them duke it out. If you counted the number of minutes that they actually fought, it'd only be just a little bit, wouldn't it? Paul said, watch this verse here. Paul said, so fight I, but I'm not swinging wild. Have you ever watched somebody that's not a trained fighter? They're just swinging wild, not connecting. Son, if you're going to get in a fight, fight. If you're going to fight, make sure they connect. Because all you're doing, you're using up your energy. When you're swinging and you're not connecting, you're just beating the air. If you're going to fight, make sure it connects. Amen. Paul said, don't beat the air. If you're going to fight, we are in a fight, right? Let's fight effectively. Let's make it count. What some people call fighting is just beating the air. Oh, they moan, and they scream, and they cry. That's not moving the heart of God. Amen? The fight of faith. Now, three things, and I'm done this morning. How this fight occurs. Turn with me, 2 Corinthians. If you don't get anything, listen for the next few minutes. 2 Corinthians 10. How this fight occurs, three things. And then we are observe the Lord's table. Is this helping anybody?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every, say this word with me, every what?
God.
To the obedience of Christ. This war, listen to me, look this way. This war is not about the flesh. The weapons are not carnal. They are spiritual. But these weapons are mighty. You can't see them. You can't touch them. You can't put your hands on them. But they are mighty weapons. Somebody say, mighty weapons. The things that are spiritual must be dealt with spiritually. These weapons are real, but you can't see them. Now look what the verse says. Pulling down of strongholds. The major place that these strongholds are in your life, in my life, right between our eyes. Did y'all hear me on that? What does he say in those verses? Look at those two words. Two words, imaginations and thoughts. Where are these? Where are those located? Your mind. These are in the mind. The war is all about the mind, our thinking. If we have wrong thinking, then it's going to produce wrong actions. If we have right thinking, it's going to produce right actions. It's going to produce outcomes. But as long as we're thinking bad and negative and discouraged and depressed, that's the way we're going to act. Let's change what we're thinking about. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Number two, how does the enemy attack us? How can we resist? Look what he said, casting down imaginations and every thought. Ephesians 6, if you want to turn there, if you want to listen. Ephesians 6:10. Be good if you turn there. Ephesians 6:10, I'll give you a moment. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. You know where you're going to get attacked the most? Is the place that you don't cover. And in studying, and Brother Keith's done an excellent job, the Roman soldier was outfitted, his head, helmet of salvation, shield of faith. He had two types of shield. He had a long shield. He had a short. He had a small shield, a buckler. He had a sword. He had on a belt, covered his inward parts. He had on shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Had his thighs covered. But one thing he did not have covered was his backside. You know why? Because you're supposed to fight. You're not supposed to turn and run.
Amen.
When you turn and run from the enemy, you're not resisting. You're giving in. You're surrendering ground. And when you do that, he's got an open target to hit you in the back.
Amen.
He don't fight fair, by the way. Them guys yesterday, there's certain rules in boxing. You can't hit below the waist. You cannot hit like in the kidneys. You can't hit a guy in the back. The devil don't play fair, does he?
No.
He waits till you're turned and running away and he'll hit you a good one. Listen now. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. We're going to come to that in just a second. The wiles of the devil. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me stop there. We're going to come back. He didn't say lay on the couch and do nothing, did he? Come on, folks. He said put on the whole armor. When do we put that whole armor on? Spurgeon said one time, I'll tell you when you can take your armor off. The knights of old slept with their armor on. You know why? Because they never knew at what time the enemy is going to attack them. I'll tell you when you can lay your armor down. I'll tell you when you can take your breastplate of righteousness off. I'll tell you when you can take the helmet of salvation off. When you breathe your last breath, then you can lay your armor down. But until that day comes, you better put it on when you get up in the morning, and you better go to bed with it on.
Amen.
Look here at some words. Stand. Having done all to stand. He says that twice. Verse 14, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth. He said, stand in that evil day. Why we have to stand? Because there's something coming that wants to knock you off your feet. Now, hey, listen to me. You say, preacher, everything's going good right now. The sun is shining. My bills are paid. The kids are well. I got money in the bank. I got gas in the car. I got groceries in the cupboard. Man, life is good. Hang on. Because something's a-coming that's going to knock you off your feet. You best plant your feet down and you best stand in that evil day, because it's a-coming, friend. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to rosy pedal it. But my friend, we are in a fight. Look in verse 11. He talks about the wiles of the devil. I heard one black preacher say one time, the willies of the devil. And no, it's not the willies, it's the wiles. Y'all are supposed to laugh on that one. The wiles. I looked this word up. This is what it means. Wiles, craftiness, trickery, schemes that sought out for deceiving. Always trying to trick you. He's very accomplished at that. What did he do to Adam and Eve? He lied. He deceived. He tricked them. You know, if you'll eat of that fruit of that tree of yonder knowledge of good and evil, you'll be just like God. You'll have your eyes open. He tricked them, didn't he? He'll trick you. Always trying to trick you. The wiles. Here's what else I learned. It is a technical term for the strategy of a skillful leader. It is a plan to outwit an opponent. I kind of set my wife up a little bit last night. We were talking. I said, you remember when we first got married, we'd play chess. And we did. We played chess a lot. I never played football, brother. I never played basketball. I went out for the church softball team. I got the uniform and I sat on the bench the whole season. I was no good. Ball be coming, and I'd have my glove open, and it hit me in the head. I mean, you know, I was just that way. Sports was not my forte. But now chess, on the other hand, I love chess. And you're going to think I'm bragging right now, but I became pretty good at it, very good at it. My wife didn't know this last night because I hadn't told her, but I said, you remember when we first got married, we'd play chess all. We did. We'd play chess a lot. And she said, you want to start playing it again? I said, yeah. She said, so that I could beat you? I said, how many times did you beat me? She beat me one time in all those years. I like to play chess. I like for a good challenge. I like to be able to beat somebody within 3 to 4 moves. Because I've already got it planned out up here what I'm going to do. I've already looked at the board. I know to move my pawn to a certain spot, and then the knight over here, and then my queen here, and bam, checkmate. Why can I do that? Because I have studied it, I have planned it out, I've strategized. I make a move, the opponent makes a move. What I'm doing, I am anticipating his next move. In fact, a good chess player will anticipate 2 moves in advance. It's not like playing checkers. It is a game of war. And friend, this is what the devil does to us. He anticipates. He puts little things out there that tempt us. He puts little things out there that we say, hey, let me just try that. Let me see what it might taste like. Let me just experiment just a little bit. And the devil says, yeah, I've got him now because I've already planned 2 moves down the line. I know what direction he's headed in. Bam, I got him now. Look at verse 12. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Again, Paul was a sports nut. Wrestling, hand-to-hand struggle. He said we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and power. It is a hand-to-hand struggle with evil spirit. Have you ever started to make a decision and then something told you to stop? Wait, think about it. You ever had that to happen? Now, if you're smart, you'll listen. And I'm going to go one step further. Guys, if you're married, if you're smart, you'll listen to your wife. Amen. Case in point, Pilate was going to crucify Jesus. Pilate's wife came and said, "Have nothing to do with this just man. I've suffered many things about him in a dream." Did Pilate listen? No, he didn't. And if you read the life of Pilate, you'll find Pilate did that so he could keep his friends and keep his job. He lost both of them. History tells us. Had he listened to his wife, things may have turned out a little bit different. You know why? Because a wife has a more tender conscience than a man does. And God sometimes will speak to a wife when he won't speak to the man. You know why? Because us guys are hard-headed. God speaks to us with a 2x4. He speaks to the wife in a gentle voice. Sometimes he's got to get our attention. Now watch this. Hear me out now. Listen, it's getting good. Our conflict is not with flesh and blood. The devil wants to tell you that your problem is with your wife. The devil wants to tell you your problem is with your husband. The devil wants to tell you your problem is with your son. It is with your daughter. It is with your coworker. It is with a family member. Your problem is with your boss. If you just had a different boss, things would be different. But your problem is not with flesh and blood. Your problem is with the enemy, the devil, my friend. He's pulling the strings. You've got to guard yourself that you don't get in the flesh and start fighting people. If you start fighting people, the devil's sitting back twiddling his thumbs saying, "Boy, I got them exactly where I want them." When somebody comes to you in the flesh and cusses you out, "God bless you, I'm praying for you, I love you." But if you get in the flesh and you retaliate, you say, "You want some of me? Come on, we'll take it outside. Come on, we'll do this." The devil's sitting back. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your testimony. Our fight is not with people. Look there in that verse. It is with principalities and powers. Principalities are chief rulers. Powers, they get their orders from the chief rulers. Look in verse 12. Spiritual wickedness. Literally, wicked spirits. Lying spirits. Deceitful spirits. And where does this warfare take place? Verse 12, in heavenly places, not where God lives. Who is the God of this world? Satan is. He is the prince and the power of the air. Third of all, how do you put the armor on? First piece. Paul said, have your loins girt about with truth. You've got to put the armor on by receiving it by faith. God has given you every resource there is available. You don't need to sit back and do nothing. You don't need to sit on the couch and whine about it. You don't need to sit back and feel sorry for yourself. What you need to do is get up and get in the fight. Get up, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't be a victim. Don't say, "Woe is me. Oh, I'm so, God, I just can't help it. Lord God, please take me on home to heaven." No! You are left here for a reason. Find your purpose and do it. That I might finish my course with joy. Some folks here this morning need to change their way of thinking. Ladies, would y'all come? Ladies, y'all come. Get ready to play a song. Some folks need to change their way of thinking. Instead of asking God to help me, cast down those imaginations, those thoughts. The devil is going to put thoughts in your brain. Life's not worth living. It's always going to be this way. I'll never get ahead. I'm never going to be able to succeed. I'm always going to have this problem. I'm always going to be afflicted. That's thoughts from the enemy. Need to change that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, think on these things. Number two, some people this morning need to change the way of talking. I will live and I will not die. I will come out of this. There will be a better day. The sun will shine. I'm going to be victorious. I will overcome. Some have been fighting but not accomplishing anything. They've been fighting the wrong thing. They've been fighting the people at work. Preacher, you just don't know. You don't know what agony I go through. You don't know what torture I go through. Do you ever think that God has you exactly where you need to be? Do you not think that God could move you if He wanted to move you? But God has you where He wants you. Some people have been fighting the wrong person. You say, preacher, if God would just work in my wife's life, and if God would just work with my husband and change him, then I'd be a better Christian. You're fighting the wrong people. You're fighting the wrong people. Fight the good fight. Lay hold. Confess. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.